Check this out. Jamal Murray last night, this dunk, so vicious. He got called for an offensive foul doing it. Ooh. National battle, make a call here. Tim Kalischow, your intramural days, you did this. Offensive foul?
Yes, no, no.
No, no? Make a call, Kalischow. Make a call. The two-minute report of Kalischow's referee right there. Cuban will get you
off. Jamal Murray's Canadian.
Cuban will kill you.
The hockey play. No foul.
Nope. The Ivy League canceling their conference tournament in light of the coronavirus situation. Princeton women went undefeated in conference. Their automatic entry into the tournament makes plenty of sense. Yale men were 11-3 but lost to Harvard twice, including just last week. Harvard guard Bryce Aiken posting, quote, horrible, horrible, horrible decision. Total disregard to players who put their heart into it and work so hard. Conference should have come up with a better decision. Penn coach Steve Donahue called the canceling of the conference tournament the most horrific thing he's ever had to deal with as a coach. And career suddenly ending while lacrosse and wrestling in the NCAA plays on. Jackie McMullen, how do you consider it all?
Yeah, this is an interesting decision by the Ivy League. I really feel for these other teams. You know, you mentioned Princeton. Their stud, by the way, is Bella Allery, Mark Allery's daughter. They only lost once all
team.
Year to Iowa in overtime. Yeah. So they're all set for the women. But Harvard, can you imagine the beef they have? They beat this team twice. They were hosting the tournament, Tony. So I can't even imagine as a student athlete preparing all week or for however long for a team and then the coach coming in and saying, yeah, never mind, seniors, you're done. It's over. That's just heartbreaking. There had to have been a better way. A lot of people are playing without fans. Maybe the Ivy League should have considered
Frank Isola?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy for James Jones. I've known him since he was in junior high, so I'm happy for Yale that he's going to the tournament. I'm not happy for anybody else on the women's side or the men's side because just play the tournament in an empty gym. Why are we going to this extreme measure? And the coach of Penn bring up a great point. You have lacrosse teams that are going on the road. Wrestlers are going on the road right now for matches. Why would you have to cancel this stuff?
Mm-hmm. Tim Kalischow, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't want to say anybody in any of this is making a terrible decision. Because there's no easy playbook, there's no easy guide to know what to do here. But I will say, like Frank and Jackie just said, there's other sports going on, and they're allowing those to continue. Yep. There's going to be other conference tournaments going on. The Pac-12 just said they're playing in Las Vegas. That's a lot bigger crowd, ostensibly a more dangerous health situation, I would guess. So it's a tough call. I don't know why they don't play it. You know, without fans, and I think we are going to get to that point in some sports. We just don't know how soon.
Bill Plaschke.
I think it's a total panic move. I mean, so Yale and Princeton can't play this week, yet they can play next week in March Madness and play other teams in front of fans. How is the health risk any different next week than it is this week? It doesn't make any sense, and there's no health official in this country. Nobody has said that they shouldn't have athletic events. Now, keeping the fans out, that's the way to go. I think that's probably a pretty smart way to do it. I don't think these games need fans. But these games, the players are ready to play, and there's no significant health risk. I don't know why they do it. Again, it seems like a panic move to me.
It should be said, many of these universities, Harvard for one, and many universities across the country are now in online classes. Frank Isola, you can address something else if you'd like.
Well, it's interesting. You know, Bill, we're talking about the Pac-12, the fact that they're playing. Why is that? Because we know they're going to get a lot of fans. They're the same thing with the Big East tournament here at Madison Square Garden. The Ivy League, they'll get fans, but it's not the moneymaker that some of these bigger conferences are. So I think that's probably one of the reasons why the bigger conferences say, no, we're having the tournament. And maybe that's why it made it easier for the Ivy League. But they should have been a little bit more considerate to those other players, like the coach talked about. Seniors, and you're telling them today, oh, by the way, your career is over.
Jackie Mack.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, too, is keep in mind that the Ivy League didn't even start a postseason tournament until 2017.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So I think that maybe they feel like, well, you know, we've always put academics above all the rest of this. Here's just a total conjecture on my part. You mentioned Harvard. They've already told their students who are on break, you're not going to come back after break. You're going to do online courses. So obviously Harvard, that university in particular, is taking a very conservative approach, and they were the ones hosting.
Tim Kalischow.
You know, Plaschke said something a minute ago that a week ago would have sounded just absurd. These games don't need fans. And now, realistically, it's probably the safest way to go. And I think we'll eventually get to that in some sports when you think about putting 20,000 people on top of each other, you know, in a congested arena, that may be the way, the easiest way to spread the virus. And they may, you know, we do have televisions. We can watch these games from home. So for a short period of time, that may be the way we have to go.
That's what we're seeing worldwide, right? Empty arenas. Sure. Italy has put a lockdown in sport for the entire country for the next month. But Bill Plaschke, I want to bring you in here because you were standing right next to LeBron last week when he said playing without fans in the arena was something he would not entertain. The professional leagues so far, NBA, MLB, NHL, MLS, and the NCAA to this moment declining that option. But the four pro sports already electing to close locker rooms to the media. What do you think of that? And what do you think the calculation here is for these leagues, Bill?
Well, first, LeBron, I was standing there, and he was, you know, the question kind of was unexpected for him. It was kind of a flippant answer. I think he'd probably have a different one if he thought about it. He was reacting to it just for the first time. But also, standing next to LeBron in that locker room, there are 60 of us, sweaty people, crowded around these players. Absolutely clear out the locker rooms, clear out the clubhouses of the media. I think that's a really smart idea. Now, of course, the big worry from all of us is that they're going to keep it this way and say, hey, it's kind of nice having the reporters in here. Let's make it something permanent. And obviously, we're going to hope and press for that not to happen. But right now, again, the whole LeBron thing, just you go into a Laker locker room after a game and you realize, oh my goodness, the chance of this communicable diseases in here is rampant. So clean that out. And I think that's where we're headed. And I think there's no problem with
that. Kalisha?
My only problem with it is if you're going to do that and you're doing it for the safety of the players, saying we want to remove whatever risks they, you know, incur from having a bunch of media people in close quarters, you're not taking those same precautions as long as you have fans and games. Your popcorn salesman who walks around getting dollar bills and touching people and handing food around to thousands of people every night, you're not worried about them. But you're worried about 12 basketball players sitting at their lockers. If you're going to take care of them, then I honestly think you're going to have to think about seriously about playing these games without fans, which is completely different from what I thought a week ago.
Yeah. Frank Isola, how about you?
Yeah, you know, when you think about what they do in Europe where they don't have locker room access, and like you mentioned, Tony, next week Barcelona is going to play Napoli. That's a huge Champions League match, and there won't be any fans there. And I think the media has legitimate concerns because you always feel like if they take something away, are they ever going to give it back? But I think, you know, the leagues have assured everybody it'll eventually go back to normal if there is such a thing as normal. But my thing is, I think what the leagues are worried about is if a player comes down with something, then what? Is that team going to get shut down? Would they have to shut down the entire sport? So I think they're trying to protect the players as much as they can. My big question will be, what do they consider essential employees? Will agents be allowed in the locker room? We've seen that happen before. The definition of essential employees will be very interesting over the next few weeks.
And Jackie McMullen?
Yeah, but so let's talk about what the league is really concerned about. Because we all know what they're concerned about. It's the bottom line. It's money, guys. That's why the fans are going to be allowed into the game and the media aren't going to be allowed into the locker room. We don't pay to go into the locker room. Revenue streams, people, lots of people in the stands. What about the referees? They're handing the players the balls. Yeah. Last time I checked, unless they've got them a private plane, they travel commercially. So aren't you worried about them, too? Very inconsistent.
But from the media perspective here, Jackie, before we sit down, you had some thoughts on this as well. That being the first, yeah, please go ahead. That being the first thing the leagues have spoken to here.
Right. And Frank is exactly right. I'm old enough to have covered the NBA back when practices were open. Yeah. You could get there early and talk to the players. You could watch them practice the whole time. And then after practice, you could interview the players. Those days are gone because of who knows what. And I'm with Frank here. I have grave concerns about what this means going forward. And I should caution the public. You want great stories. We get you great stories from the access we have in that locker room. We don't get it from a podium sticking a microphone in a face with 50 others.
And Tim, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't believe media people talking about them, their need to be in there, listen to Joey Votto. Listen to a baseball superstar.
Yeah.
Read what he
great
posted.
Quote.
Actually, Cincinnati writer Trent Rosenkrantz posted it on Twitter talking about the dynamic between players and media and how those stories are how fans kind of capture the mood of the team and they learn more about it. And if you remove that and you put a wall between everybody and the players, you know, fans no longer have that connection.
If I can raise one more example, what this opens the door to is what we saw maybe with the Houston Astros just last month. A podium-style interview or asking of questions allows for what we saw with Altuve and Bregman the first day. Because what did you see once they went inside the clubhouse? You saw players opening up a lot more. And that's also in play here.
Yeah.
Thanks for your thoughts on this, guys. We're going to move on here. Tim Kalishaw, this next story, a big headline for you. $105 million guaranteed, maybe? $33 million a year, maybe? If that's the deal, the Cowboys did, in fact, offer Dak Prescott as has been widely reported, and Calvin Watkins of Your Morning News first reported it, Tim. It would be, by some metric and by some semantic, the richest contract in league history. I mean, somebody's always trying to say that for everything. Tim, you know a little bit more about that than I do, but does Dak have to take this?
I know some of you think that sounds like a lot of money to a guy with one playoff win in 4 years. I get that. But, you know, the realistic thing is this. He already knows, and his agent already knows, they're going to pay him $33 million just to play this year if they have to franchise tag him. So that's year one. Yeah. So that figure, if it's going to be 4 or 5 years, is not going to go under that. The numbers aren't going to go down. The Cowboys have kind of boxed themselves in this corner because they need to get Amari done and they need to get Dak done. And if the players vote the new CBA, they can't use both tags. So basically, Dak's going to get a lot of money.
Are you of the opinion Dak played this one perfectly, Tim?
Yes, and more players should be willing to gamble and play like he did with no guarantees in year four. That's how he got himself in this.
So, Plaschke, your view of it?
Yeah, you know what the bottom line is? Dak has him over a barrel, and he is. Since he came into the league, he's in ranks in the top five in wins and in QBR. And in similar quarterbacks, Wentz and Goff, much better careers than either one of them at this point. If his playoff record notwithstanding. So I think he's got him over a barrel. If they want both him and Cooper, they got to pay him a lot of money, and he's going to deserve it.
Wow, Goff did go to a Super Bowl for your Rams, Plaschke. That's strong words. Jack,
I know, but look at Dak's numbers.
How about you?
No, I'm in agreement here. Dak's in the driver's seat. It's not his concern how they sign Amari Cooper. It's his concern how they sign him. Here's the other thing. So he'll be the highest paid quarterback for like an hour. Or 2 hours until Patrick Mahomes.
I know.
Until the next young person. That's just how this works in the NFL. So the numbers to me in a lot of ways are, I don't want to say silly money because $100 million of it from what we hear could be guaranteed. That's the way it's going today in the NFL. Listen, the Cowboys understand we need Dak Prescott going forward. They better
and
lock
I feel
him up.
Tim used the word gamble. Not every player is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. He makes endorsement deals, and he's been a durable quarterback. So if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe I will bet on myself. I'll take out an insurance policy. I'll sign the franchise tag. Then the following year, they have to give me more money. In the long run, I could make more money. And that's why I think there's a lot of pressure, like Tim said, on the Cowboys because they want to get Cooper done and they want to get Prescott.
Being quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, just like being around the horn panelist in the second square from Dallas. Kalishaw has got that lead right now. And Tim,
hey, the
your
man.
Gut, this is done in those hours between the CBA vote on Saturday and the tag time on Monday?
Only if he's going to be made the highest paid quarterback in league history, it'll get done. If it's short of that, I think he'll be franchised.
Buyer sells next.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Tua Tagovailoa medically cleared for light drill work, Ian Rappaport reports. He passed the 4-month post-surgery checkup. And now the NFL draft, 44 days away. Timmy, you think that's enough for an NFL team to be concern-free and maybe even consider trading up for him?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he will light it up on his Alabama Pro Day here in early April. And I think the days of thinking Washington at number two is just going to sit there and take Chase Young, those days are over. They're going to have choices on their hand coming from Detroit, coming from Miami, maybe Carolina, who knows. Teams are going to want him, and Washington's going to be able to package that pick and get a whole bunch of stuff.
Right, guys, Isola?
I'm not worried if he's healthy. I'm worried, can he stay healthy? That's going to be the big question. But getting back to Washington for a minute, Ron Rivera is a pretty smart coach. Went to a Super Bowl with the MVP at quarterback. I'll bet you he's watched every play that Dwayne Haskins has been involved in. What they do on draft day, maybe it means trading down to get a quarterback. But Ron Rivera has a pretty good idea of what he wants to do, and I would not be shocked if they take Tua at number two.
Wow, okay. I guess Jackie Mack, since both Tim and Frank view this from the number two pick, assuming Burrow goes number one to Cincinnati, this news on Tua does what to you?
Well, I mean, I understand what these guys are saying, and nice position for Washington to be in, regardless of what they
do. Yeah, I'm sure they'll make the right decision.
Tua, or they trade down, or they trade. Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer for them either way. I do wonder about Tua, though, and I think Frank's on to something. He's had a lot of surgeries. He's had surgeries on both ankles. So I don't think people look and say, is he a good enough pro? That's never been the question. The question is, can he play in the NFL without getting hurt? People tell me all the time, if you get hurt in college, that's a black mark when you go through all this. Now, is it a big black mark? That remains to be seen, because we know that the NFL protects their quarterbacks a lot better than they do in the college game.
And Bill Plaschke.
So, Frank, when Ron Rivera does look at all the tape of Haskins, he's going to see his last two starts, 77% completion, 131 passer rating. He'd be a fool to go away from him and draft Tua. There's no way that's going to happen. And I think Tim, you said he's going to light up on his pro day. We don't know that. We don't know how he's come back from the injury. I think we have to wait till the pro day to see where Tua goes. And again, he could drop. Everybody's talking about him going up. I'm thinking this guy could drop.
Such a hater.
Wow, you think, okay, I mean, it's 44 days until the draft. I mean, that is an eternity. But let's not forget Chase Young called himself the best player in the draft, and that's where everyone thought Washington was going with the number two pick until Kalashaw and Isola opened their mouth. We'll move on. The NFL CBA vote deadline, 11:59 p.m. this Saturday. For votes that are already in, some players now appealing to their reps to be able to take the vote back and reconsider and change their vote. That appeal was denied by the NFLPA. The votes that are in have to stay the way they are. Bill, how does all that strike you?
Of course the appeals are not. That's a ridiculous request. It's clearly some of these players are feeling peer pressure from their more well-paid colleagues. Don't listen to the Aaron Rodgers of the world. Listen to yourself. You know, the rank and file need to take care of themselves. This is going to think it's going to pass, and it should pass.
Tim Kalashaw?
As someone who took advantage of early voting and then by Super Tuesday their candidate had dismissed from the race, I understand the sentiment of wanting to change the vote. However, in this case, there's for and there's against, and they're both still on the ballot. You voted for one of them, stick with it. No change.
Uh-huh. Frank Isola?
Tony, you're in a great position. You're one of the few people in position to change your mind. But if you're a player, you do your due diligence, you cast your vote, that is it. Nothing more. It's over.
Jackie Mack?
But due diligence is the key word here, Frank. I bet a lot of those players did not do their due diligence, and now they're being asked by their peers to go back and do their due diligence. And guess what? It's too late. You should have taken care of that.
Well, we did a story yesterday about what was Woody Page called it, a scare tactic from NFL owners, saying if you say no to this deal, the next one's going to be a lot worse.
Right.
And potentially maybe that has something to do with what we're doing here. Should I take my vote and change it right now? Frank Isola, what do you think? Is that something I should
do? No. You did good.
You can vote for me.
Diligence.
Bill Plaschke, Jackie Mack, front row seats, Tim Kalashaw, Frank Isola. Two enter, but only one will leave. I'll be back in 2 minutes. I'll see you in four.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
With thousands of locally owned NAPA stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Kyle Shaisola, welcome to Showdown.
And if he makes one, the game's over. You have the 3-point chance. Been a heck of a game.
Sacramento game last night. Where is Buddy? Luke Walton benching Heald in the crunch time yesterday. Kings came back, but they needed a three late. After the game, Walton defended his decision, saying he played the guys who were rolling. They scored 39 in that quarter. Tim, where's Buddy?
Where is Buddy? The fan is right. It's not just about this game. Buddy Heald, they need him making threes like he has been down the stretch to get into the playoffs.
Tim, the game is played on two ends of the court. They gave up 40 points. Scoring wasn't the problem. They scored 39. They gave up 40, and he was 4 for 12. Luke Walton did the right thing, but came up this short.
Get Buddy in there.
Point, Tim Kalisha. You came up this short. I stole a showdown, too.
Try to have him in face. No, no. It was a little altercation, and we both got ejected when I didn't do any. I mean, I didn't do anything back, pretty much. But next time, I do justice myself.
Rudy Gobert vows to take matters into his own hands. Gobert and Anunoby were at each other's throats last night. Raptors beat the Jazz. Okay for Gobert to vow revenge, Frank?
No, it's not, because we know this from covering sports. The guys that really want to fight and do something, they don't talk about it. They just do it. What he should threaten to do is grab more rebounds. He only had four, and he only took four shots.
No, I think it's okay. I think you go by a player's history. Certain players, you would cringe if you heard that. Gobert's not that kind of player. Ananobi's the one throwing all those elbows anyway.
Point, Frank Isola. We're tied going into showdown three. Now I get to do something I did 22 years ago. I tossed to Spiro Dedis. Showdown three.
Hitch up by Korver. Murray's around his man. Just called an offensive foul, and this basket's not going to count.
Was Jamal Murray's dunk an offensive foul? That's the call on the court here. Here's Spiro Dedis saying, Murray expressing himself on DJ Wilson. Nuggets 109, Bucks 105. Is that an offensive foul, Tim?
I don't want to be the guy who points out he's got that elbow out in front of him, so I'm going to say no, it's not. I mean, that can't be an offensive foul. That never gets called an offensive
DJ foul. DJ Wilson That's turned his call. Head. He sold it pretty well. By the way, to hear Spiro Dedis say the words Antetokounmpo, it's like poetry. It's beautiful.
You know exactly how to get the points for that guy, so Spiro and I call games in Fordham 22 years ago. How ridiculous is that? Take it, Frank.
I spent International Women's Day at Red Bull Arena with 26,000 people, doubleheader with soccer. U.S. women played Spain. Most of the people in attendance, females, including my wife and daughter. What a great event. And I'll tell you what, I got to see the sports power couple, the Ertz family, up close and personal. Julie scored the goal. Zach Ertz sitting next to me. Couldn't have been more thrilled. What a day.
Frank guys stole the today's champion. That's good to do it, folks. 1 T 3 and a half hour break.
High five.
See you tomorrow.
Use Perel.